Hi, you are listening to Maleficent Evil Snakes podcast, the podcast where you can hear audiobooks from Enid Blyton to Roald Dahl. So in every podcast, we would be reading one chapter. So we started off with the book Famous Five on a Treasure Island. We read the first chapter in the first podcast, and now we'll be reading the second chapter in the second podcast. Okay, so let's get started. The Strange Cousin. The children's aunt had been watching for the car. She came running out of the old wooden door as soon as she saw it draw up outside. The children liked the look of her at once. "Welcome to Kirin," she cried. "Hello, all of you. It's lovely to see you. And what big children." There were kisses all around, and then the children went into the house. They liked it. It felt old and rather mysterious somehow, and the furniture was old and very beautiful. "Where's Georgina?" asked Annie, looking around for her unknown cousin. "Oh, the naughty girl. I told her to wait in for the garden for you," said her aunt. "Now she's gone off somewhere. I must tell you, children, you may find your George a bit difficult at first. She's always been on her own, you know, and at first may not like you being here. But you must not take any notice that she'll be all right in a short time." "I was very glad for Georgina's sake that you were able to come. She's badly needs other children to play with." "Do you call her George?" asked Annie in surprise. "I thought her name was Georgina." "So it is," said her aunt. "But Georgina hates being a girl, and we have to call her George, as if she was a boy. The naughty girl won't answer if we call her Georgina." But the children thought that Georgina sounded rather exciting. They wished she would come, but she didn't. Their uncle Cutin suddenly appeared instead. He was a most extraordinary looking man. Very tall, very dark, and with a rather furious frown on his wide forehead. "Hello, Cutin," said Dad. "It's a long time since I have seen you. I hope these three won't disturb you very much in your work." "Cutin is working on a difficult book," said Aunt Fanny, "but I have given him a room all to himself on the other side of the house, so I don't expect he will be disturbed." Their uncle looked at the three children and nodded to them. The frown didn't come off his face, and they all felt a little scared and were glad that he was to work in another part of the house. "Where's George?" he asked in a deep voice. "Gone off somewhere again," said Aunt Fanny. "I told her she was to stay here and meet her cousins. She wants spanking," said Uncle Cretan. The children couldn't quite make out whether he was joking or not. "Well, children, I hope you have a good time here, and maybe you will knock a little common sense into George." There was no room at Kirin Cottage for mother and father to stay the night, so after a hurried supper, they left to stay at a hotel in the nearest town. They would drive back to London immediately after breakfast the next day. So they said goodbye to the children that night. George still hadn't appeared. "I'm sorry we haven't seen George," said Mum. "Just give her out our love and tell her we hope she'll enjoy playing with Dick, Julian, and Annie." The mother and dad went. The children felt a bit lonely as they saw the big car disappear around the corner of the road, but Aunt Fanny took them upstairs to show them their bedrooms, and they soon forgot to be sad. The two boys were to sleep together in a room with slanting ceilings at the top of the house. It had a marvelous view of the bay. The boys were delighted with it. Annie was to sleep with Georgina in a smaller room whose windows looked over the moors at the back of the house, but one side of window looked over the sea, which pleased Annie very much. It was a nice room, and red roses nodded their heads in at the window. "I do wish Georgina would come," Annie said to her aunt. "I want to see what she's like." "Well, she's a funny little girl," said her aunt. "She can be very rude and haughty, but she's kind at her heart, very loyal and absolutely truthful. Once she makes friends with you, she will always be friends. But she finds it very difficult indeed to make friends, which is such a great pity." Annie suddenly yawned. The boys frowned at her because they knew what would happen next. And it did. "Poor Annie, how tired you are. You must all go to bed straight away and have a good long night. Then you will wake up quite fresh tomorrow," said Aunt Fanny. "Annie, you are an idiot," said Dick crossly. When his aunt had gone out of the room, "You know quite well that what grown-ups think as soon as we yawn. I did want to go down on the beach for a while." "I'm sorry," said Annie. "Somehow I couldn't help it. And anyway, you're yawning now, Dick. And Julian too." So they were as sleepy as they could be with their long drive. Secretly, all of them longed to cuddle down into the bed and shut their eyes. "I wonder where Georgina is," said Annie. And she said good night to the boys and went to her own room. "Isn't she queer, not waiting to welcome us and not coming in to supper and not even in yet? After all, she's sleeping in my room. Goodness knows what time she'll be in." All three children were fast asleep before Georgina came up to bed. They didn't hear her open Annie's door. They didn't hear her get undressed and clean her teeth. They didn't hear the creak of her bed as she got into it. They were so tired that they heard nothing at all until the sun awoke them in the morning. When Annie woke, she couldn't at first think where she was. She lay in her little bed and looked up at the slanting ceiling and at the red roses that nodded at the open window, and suddenly remembered all in a rush where she was. "I'm at Kiran Bay and it's holidays," she said to herself, and screwed up her large legs with joy. Then she looked across to the other bed. In it lay a figure of another child curled up under the bed clothes. Annie could just see the top of a curly head, and that was all. When the figure stirred a little, Annie spoke.
I see. "Are you Georgina?" The child in the opposite bed sat up and looked across at Annie. She had very short curly hair, almost as short as a boy's. Her face was burnt a dark brown with the sun, and her very blue eyes looked as bright as forgive-me-nots in her face. But her mouth was rather sulky, and she had frown like her father's. "No," she said, "I'm not Georgina." "Oh," said Annie in surprise, "then who are you?"
"I'm George," said the girl. "I shall only answer if you call me George. I hate being a girl. I won't be. I don't like doing the things that girls do. I like doing things that boys do. I can climb better than any boy and swim faster too. I can sail a boat as well as any fisher boy on this coast. You are to call me George, then I'll speak to you. But I should not if you don't. Oh, said Annie, thinking that her new cousin was almost extraordinary. All right, I don't care what I call you. George is a nice name. I don't much like Georgina anyway. You look like a boy. Do I really? Said George, the frown leaving her face for a moment. Mother was awfully cross with me then when I cut my hair short. I had hair all around my neck. It was awful. The two girls stared at one another for a moment. Don't you simply hate being a girl? Asked George. No, of course not, said Annie. You see, I do like pretty frocks and I love my dolls, and you can't do that if you're a boy. Pooh, Fanny bothering about pretty frocks, said George in a snoreful voice. And dolls. Well, you are a baby, that's all I can say. Annie felt offended. You are not very polite, she said. You won't find that my brother's taken much notice of you. If you act as if you knew everything, there are real boys, not pretending to be boys like you. Well, if they are going to be nasty to me, I shall not take any notice of them, said George, jumping out of the bed. I don't want any of you to come any way of infronting with my life. Here, I am quite happy on my own. Now, I've got to put up with a silly girl who likes frogs and dolls and two stupid boy cousins. Annie felt that they had made a very bad beginning. She had no more but got dressed herself too. She put on her gray jeans and a red jersey. George put on jeans too and a boy's jersey. Just as they were ready, the boys hammered on their door. Aren't you ready? Is Georgina there? Cousin Georgina, come out and see us. George flung open the door, marched out with her head high. She took no notice of the two surprised boys at all. She stalked downstairs, and the other three looked at one another. She won't answer if you call her Georgina, explained Annie. She's awfully queer, and I think she says she didn't want us to come because we will interfere with her. She laughed at me and was rather rude. Julian put his arms around Annie, who looked a bit doubtful. Cheer up, he said. You have got to stick up for you. Come on down to breakfast. They were all hungry. They smelled the smell of bacon and eggs was very good. They ran down the stairs and said good morning to their aunt. She was just bringing the breakfast to the table. Their uncle was sitting at the head, reading his paper. He nodded at the children. They sat down without a word, wondering if they were allowed to speak at meals. They always were at home, but their uncle Quentin looked rather furious. George was there, buttering a piece of toast. She scowled at the three children. Don't look like that, George, said her mother. I hope you have made friends already. It will be fun to play together. You must take your cousins to see the bay this morning and show them the best place to bathe. I'm going fishing, said George. Her father looked up at once. You're nuts, he said. You are going to show a few good manners for a change and take your cousins to the bay. Do you hear me? Yes, said George with a scowl exactly like her father's. Oh, We can go to the bay by ourselves, all right, if George is going fishing, said Annie. I once thinking it would not be nice if George was in a bad temper. George will do exactly as she's told, said her father. If she doesn't, I shall deal with her. So after breakfast, four children got ready to go down to the beach with an easy path led down to the bay, and they ran down happily. Even George lost her frown as she felt the warmth of the sun and saw dancing sparkles on the blue sea. You go fishing if you want to, said Annie when they were down on the beach. We won't tell tales of you. We don't want to interfere with you. You know, we have got ourselves for a company, and if you don't want to be with us, you needed not. But we did like you all the same if you did like to be with us, said Julian generously. He thought George was rude and ill-mannered, but he couldn't help rather liking the look of the straight, black-backed, short-haired little girl with her brilliant blue eyes and sulky mouth. George stared at him. "I'll see," she said. I don't make friends with people just because they're my cousins or something silly like that. I only make friends with people if I like them." "So do we," said Julian. "We may not like you, of course." "Oh," said George, as if that thought hadn't occurred to her. Well, you may not, of course. Lots of people don't like me, now I come to think of it." Annie was staring out over the blue bay. At the entrance to it lay a curious rocky island with what looked like an old ruined castle on the top of it. "Isn't that a funny place?" she said. "I wonder what it's called." "It's called Kiran Island," said George, her eyes as blue as the sea as she turned to look at it. "It's a lovely place to go. If I like you, I may take you there someday, but I don't promise. The only way to get there is by boat." "Who does the funny island belong to?" asked Julian. George made a most surprising answer. "It belongs to me," she said. "At least it will belong to me someday. It will be my very own island and very own castle." Okay, so thank you guys for listening to the podcast. And in the next episode, we will be reading chapter 3. So, bye.